ברוכים הבאים לפודקאסט של שפות שלי. אנחנו בית ספר לאנגלית ושפות נוספות. אתם כאן כדי לשמוע קצת אנגלית, ויש לנו נושא מאוד מרתק היום. אנחנו נדבר על ההיסטוריה של האנושות ומקור האנושות, לפי ההיסטוריאן פרופסור יובל נוח הררי. נסביר על קצת ההיסטוריה שלנו כבני אדם. So let's get started for today. I'm happy to be back. Hope you guys have had a successful week. Always keep learning, listening to English, improving your understanding of the language. Let's get started. So today we're going to explore the critically acclaimed book, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind. This is authored by the renowned Israeli historian, Professor Yuval Noah Harari. In the session, we're going to take you on a mind-blowing journey back in time, tens of thousands of years, to the origins of Homo sapiens. המקור של אנושות, כל הבני האדם היום, הם בעצם נחשבים Homo sapiens. אני עוד מעט אסביר מה זה ונכנס לעומק. And explore how we became the dominant species on a planet. איך הפכנו להיות, נקרא לזה המין, החיה השולטת בכדור הארץ. It's a story of revolutions, evolution, and imagination. A story that answers not just who we are, but also why we are. למה אנחנו כאן? So buckle up and let's dive right in. A story begins around 70,000 years ago, לפני 70,000 שנה, which with an event which Harari calls the cognitive revolution. Now, what does that mean? מה זה אומר, a cognitive revolution? Cognitive relates to thinking or the mind, and revolution suggests a dramatic change. So this was a time when ancestors began to think differently. But before we dive deeper, let's pause and ask, who exactly are we talking about when we say our ancestors? Well, that's an excellent question. When we refer to ancestors in this context, we mean Homo sapiens. The name Homo sapiens מגיע מהשפה הלטינית, where homo means man. המילה homo, המשמעות היא אדם, and sapiens means wise or knowledgeable. So we are quite literally the wise man or the knowledgeable man. But here's a fascinating fact. We weren't the only human species back then. In fact, the planet was home to several different types of humans. There were Neanderthals in Europe and Western Asia, the Denisovians in Asia, Homo erectus in Indonesia, and more. But all of these diverse human species, we Homo sapiens are the only ones who survived and thrived. As we journey through the prehistory, it's fascinating to imagine a world populated not by one, but by several species of humans. Yes, כן מאזינים יקרים, there was a time when Homo sapiens, that's us, weren't the only humans walking on Earth. זה די מעניין לדמיין שפעם, כמו שאתם רואים שיש כל מיני סוגים של דובים, יש דוב קוטב, דוב פנדה, דוב גריזלי, גם ככה היו בני אדם, כל הבני אדם שקמים היום, המקור שלהם בעצם Homo sapiens, אבל היו כל מיני סוגים של בני אדם גם שחיו פעם. זה ממש ממש מעניין. So let's get into it. To help you picture this, רק קצת לעזור לכם לדמיין את זה, imagine attending a family reunion, but instead of aunts, uncles, and cousins, your relatives are entirely different species of humans. כאילו ממש זן אחר של בני אדם. Sounds surreal, doesn't it? But this was the reality of our ancestors. So who are these other humans? בוא נתחיל עם הניאנדרטלס. Originating in Western Asia and Europe, Neanderthals were robust with a powerful build, I mean, you want Akim, Chazakim, and evidence suggests they had a rich cultural life. They made tools, used fire, and even buried their dead. Then there was the Denisovians. While we know less about them due to a lack of fossil evidence, they are believed to have lived in Asia. The intriguing fact about Denisovans is that just like Neanderthals, the DNA survives in us. Yes, most people of non-African descent carry a little bit of Neanderthal and Denisovan DNA, a memento of ancient encounters between our species. There was also Homo erectus, which means upright man. Originating in Africa, this spread to areas such as Indonesia and China, that were on earth for a very long time, almost 2 million years, and were known for their tool-making skills. Additionally, there were other less known human species, for instance, Homo heidelbergensis, found in Germany, who is believed to be an ancestor of both Neanderthals and us Homo sapiens. And there was Homo naledi, discovered recently in South Africa, that had a unique combination of features, some primitive and some similar to modern humans. Each of these species was unique in its own way, having adapted to survive in its specific environment. Yet, Adain, none of them survived the test of time, Afmim lo sardu al pnei zman, except us Homo sapiens, chutz mitanu, the Homo sapiens. As we move forward in our journey, we'll continue to explore how, against all the odds, they had called a sequim, our species managed to thrive while others fell by the wayside. So what happened to our human cousins? Professor Ari suggests that it was our unique cognitive abilities that might have given us an edge. But it's important to remember that as wise as we might be, we're also capable of being remarkably destructive. And as we expanded across the globe, we often brought extinction to other human species. Though the exact methods are lost to history, it likely wasn't through sheer physical prowess. Instead, Harari speculates that our newfound ability to cooperate in large groups, fueled by shared myths and stories, could have overwhelmed them. בעצם, אנחנו היינו ראשונים שידענו לשתף פעולה בקבוצות מאוד מאורגנות, מאורגנות בקבוצות גדולות. זה מה שנתן להומו סייפיאנס יתרון לשרוד. But how did this change occur? What set us Homo sapiens apart? This brings us back to the cognitive revolution. We began to think about things beyond our immediate surroundings and experiences. We told stories, created myths, set down rules, imagined. This might not sound groundbreaking to us in the 21st century, but back then it was a monumental leap forward. This ability allowed us to work together in larger groups than ever before. We could share complex ideas, plan for the future, and perhaps most importantly, form shared beliefs. It was this capability that eventually propelled Homo sapiens to become the most influential species on Earth. So we continue our journey back in time. It's important to remember that the cognitive abilities we developed were not just about survival. Yes, they helped us to hunt better and avoid predators, but they also did something more profound. They allowed us to imagine a world beyond what we could see or touch, to dream up concepts, stories, and ideas that didn't physically exist. This, according to Harari, is what truly sets us apart from other species. For example, le dogma. Let's consider something as common as money. A banknote or coin in itself has no value. It's just a piece of paper or a piece of metal. What gives it value is the belief we have in it, the trust we place in the system that backs it. This shared fiction allows us to cooperate in large numbers across geographical and cultural boundaries. Let's think about the law, human rights, or even the concept of nations. None of these things exist in the physical world. זה פשוט לא קיים בעולם האמיתי. You can't see them, touch them, or hold them. They exist because we believe they do. הם קיימים כי אנחנו מאמינים שהם קיימים. There are shared constructs that we all have agreed to acknowledge and follow. It was this ability to create and share such constructs, to build complex social structures around them, that helped us, Homo sapiens, outcompete and even wipe out other human species. We could cooperate in large numbers from large communities and thus dominate more territory. אז זה בעצם שילוב של imagination and basically being able to cooperate in large groups, לשתף פעולה ברמה של הרבה אנשים ביחד, שנתנו יתרון, נקפסו לקרוא לזה אפילו הקסם הסודי שלנו. So, as you see, dear listeners, the cognitive revolution was not merely about thinking differently. It was about dreaming, believing, and creating a world of ideas. It's what made us who we are, what brought us from the plains of Africa to the farthest reaches of the globe, and even into space. In the end, the cognitive revolution is a tale of how an otherwise unremarkable species became the architects of the world as we know today. It's about our ability to tell stories and to believe in them. This shaped our past and continues to shape our present and future. Now, let's continue to the agricultural revolution. I'm going to discuss this in a little bit more detail, and then we can dive into it pretty deep. Having explored the cognitive revolution and diversity of human species that once roamed our planet, we can now turn to another significant milestone in our journey as Homo sapiens. This turning point around 10,000 years ago forever altered our way of life, transforming us from nomadic hunter-gatherers into settled farmers. This is what Professor Harari calls the agricultural revolution. But what led to this dramatic shift? Why would humans who had survived and thrived for hundreds of thousands of years by hunting animals and gathering plants suddenly decide to put down roots, quite literally, and start farming? To answer this, we must first understand the world the ancestors inhabited. As the last ice age ended, the world started to warm up, glaciers retreated, and in many places, conditions became much more favorable for plant growth. Humans, observant creatures that we are, we noticed certain patterns. They saw that seeds fell from plants, got buried in the ground, and sprouted into new plants. Over time, these early humans started to assist this process, sowing seeds intentionally, nurturing the plants, and eventually harvesting the food. This might sound like a smart move. After all, farming means you can stay in one place, have a more predictable food supply, and potentially have more food overall, right? זה נשמע ממש טוב. אתה יכול לשבת באותו מקום, אתה גודל לבד את אוכל שלך, נשמע מצוין. אבל האמת היא, כפי שפרופסור הרי אומר, the shift to agriculture was a mixed blessing. היה פה גם, זה היה סוג של ברכה, אבל ברכה שהיא מורבבת, כי זה בא גם עם רע. As we've learned from Professor Harari's work, the agricultural revolution brought drastic changes to human society. One might think that the ability to produce food would lead to an easier life. However, the reality was much more complicated. Farming required significant effort. The land needed to be cleared, the soil tilled, the crops planted, watered, and guarded from pests and other animals. When the harvest time came, the crops had to be gathered, processed, and stored, and this cycle repeated year on year. In addition to hard labor, farming tied humans to one place, making them more susceptible to natural disasters and attacks from other groups. It led to the rise of sedentary societies where diseases could spread more rapidly among the closely packed populations. But it wasn't all gloomy. The agricultural revolution also led to population growth, development of new tools and technologies, and it laid the foundation for the rise of the first complex societies. People had to cooperate in larger numbers to manage the fields, store the harvest, and defend their settlements. With the surplus food, not everyone needed to farm. Some people took on new roles, such as toolmakers, builders, administrators, and eventually kings and priests. These changes in turn set the stage for the rise of civilization, with all its wonders and woes. In the end, the agricultural revolution was a significant leap forward, but it came with its own set of challenges. It shaped the societies, our bodies, our world in profound ways, making us who we are today. אפשר להגיד שהagricultural revolution, השינוי החקלאי הזה, בעצם גרם לנו להיות מי שאנחנו היום. With the agricultural revolution in full swing, Homo sapiens had found a new way of life. But with the challenges and opportunities farming presented, our species was on the brink of another massive transformation. As Professor Harari explains, the agricultural revolution not only changed how we lived, but also paved the way for the development of complex societies. Remember, farming led to a surplus of food, which meant that not everyone had to be a farmer. לא כולם היו צריכים להיות חקלאים. This led to what we call a division of labor. Some people became craftsmen, some became traders, others became administrators managing the surplus and overseeing farming. Over time, these roles became more specialized and complex. We started building larger settlements, which eventually grew into cities. But cities were just one part of the puzzle. As these settlements grew, they began to form a network of social, economic, and political ties with other settlements. This network formed what we know today as civilizations. These civilizations weren't just bigger and more complex. They also gave rise to new ideas and innovations. Writing systems were developed to keep track of goods and communicate complex ideas. New types of tools and technologies were invented. Even ideas of religion, morality, and leadership evolved during this time. In essence, civilization represented a new level of complexity in human societies. But this complexity also brought new challenges. The management of resources, the enforcement of laws, the protection of city borders, and even maintaining social order became monumental tasks. Despite these challenges, civilizations continued to develop, each with its own culture, beliefs, and social structures. They represent a crucial chapter in our history as a species, a chapter where we transitioned from living in small, relatively equal communities to building large, stratified societies that spanned the vast territories. So this is more or less a summary of the history of mankind, starting in, let's say, the prehistory, and delving into a couple of concepts from Professor Harari's book. מקווה שנהנתם מהפרק הזה היום, עברנו פה על כל מיני סוגים על ההיסטוריה של האנושות, מה בעצם היה הנשק הסודי שלנו, זה השיתוף פעולה ביכולת דמיון, זה מה שגרם להומו סייפיאנס לשרוד מעל כל סוגים אחרים של האנושות, ובעצם להיות היום הספיסיס הדומיננטי של האנושות היום, והיום כולם נחשבים בעצם הומו סייפיאנס, אבל היה קצת DNA, יש לנו קצת DNA גם מהסוגים האחרים של first humans, let's call it. היה פה היום הרבה עוד סמלי מתקדם בשפה האנגלית. אם יש לכם כל מיני שאלות או דברים לא ברורים, צרו איתנו קשר בבקשה. אני פה השתמשתי היום בהרבה עוד סמלים שהוא די מתקדם בשפה האנגלית, אז לא לדאוג אם לא הבנתם הרבה חלקים מהפודקאסט הזה. זה לא קל, כי היה גם כמה מילים באנגלית שאני מוצא לפעמים את הקושי גם בשלוף לתרגם אותו אפילו לעברית. This was not an easy podcast. This was a bit of a challenging podcast. פודקאסט מאתגר. כל הכבוד לכם אם הצלחתם להאזין לכל הפרק. אתם יכולים להיות מאוד מאוד גאים בעצמכם. זה תמיד טוב לאמן את האוזן, לשמוע עוד סמלים. אם יש עוד משהו שאני אמרתי בפודקאסט שאתם לא הבנתם, תעצרו שנייה את הפודקאסט. תשמעו עוד פעם את המילה, תחפשו אותה ברשת, תחפשו אותה במילון, או תכתיבו לנו גם, ותחפשו את הפירוש ותבינו אותו, כי רק ככה אתם יכולים כל הזמן ללמוד עוד סמלים חדש, ולהתקדם בשפה גם מבחינת ההבנה. כמובן שכלים כמו פודקאסטים, לראות סרטים באנגלית, מוזיקה באנגלית, לראות סרטוני הדרכה ביוטיוב על לימוד אנגלית, זה למידה פסיבית, עוזר מאוד בהבנה של השפה. אם אתם רוצים גם לשפר את הדיבור, אנחנו כמובן כאן תמיד מוזמנים גם ליצור איתנו קשר לגבי הקורסים שלנו ולגבי מה יש לנו להציע לכם בלימוד אנגלית. ליצור קשר, פרטים שלנו, תרגישו גם בנוח ליצור קשר אם יש לכם פידבק או נושאים שאתם רוצים שאנחנו נדבר עליהם, למספר 053-550-1976. אנחנו זמינים כמובן בוואטסאפ, גם בטלפון, או בעצם יכולים ליצור אותנו קשר גם במייל, info@sefotshali.co.il. אז תודה רבה לכם, אני מקווה שיהיה לכם שבוע טוב, keep learning, keep growing, and never ever give up. Everyone has setbacks. If you stop at the first setback, you'll never see success. אז לא לוותר לעצמכם, אפילו אם אתם נכשלים, רואים כישלון, היה לכם כישלון בעבר בלימוד אנגלית, לא לוותר לעצמכם אף פעם, כי מכישלון רק ככה גודלים, לומדים, משתפרים, כובשים, עושים. You guys can do it. So have an amazing week, and I will see you guys again next week. Bye-bye.